It's open air on the Rhythm and News service of Jefferson Public Radio, streaming online at ijpr.org. I'm Eric Thiel. We've got another live session for you today. My guest in the JPR studios is Erin McKeown, who is out touring in support of her new album called Manifestra. Erin, welcome back
to
Ashland.
Eric. I know. It's nice to be here.
It's been quite a few years, right? I think you were last here for a show at the now-defunct Stillwater
Club.
Yeah,
which we thought was 1941 when that happened. It's been a little bit.
You're originally from where?
I grew up in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Tiny Civil War town between D.C. and Richmond.
But known primarily from coming from the Boston music scene, right?
I guess. Yeah. I guess that's what happened. I don't want to be from the Boston music scene.
Really? Why?
No.
It's well known. There's a lot of really amazing people that come from there.
No, I guess
why
that's
not?
True. I've never lived in Boston. I never lived close to Boston. And somehow I just thought, oh, no one's paying attention if they say I'm from the Boston music scene, which is not your fault. It's not your fault. This happened many years ago. So, no, I have always identified as having grown up in Virginia and have felt like that's who I am. And I'm just someone who got stuck in New England.
Hmm. Did you like it there?
I mean, I still live there.
Yeah.
There's parts of it that I like. It's probably a bit like here, right? The summers are really great. The spring is really great. It's affordable. It's great if you like to do things outdoors. That stuff's great. And I have a great house.
Hmm. Cool. Well, that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
To have a good home. I read that it was about college time when you decided that you wanted to be a musician.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You didn't get a degree in performance or composition or theory, ethnomusicology.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, you know, I had grown up in this small town in Virginia, and I had spent my formative years at a summer camp in the Shenandoah Valley, George Washington National Forest. And it was a summer camp that was about science, and it was about different disciplines in science with an aim towards conservation and being an environmentally responsible scientist. And I had, you know, taken classes in mycology, which is study of fungus, limnology, freshwater, botany, herpetology, reptiles, and ornithology. And each summer, you know, you picked a different thing and you wrote papers. And so that's what I thought I was going to do. I just thought I was going to go from that science summer camp to being some kind of scientist. The thing that's awesome about that camp is that's also where I learned to play guitar. That was, you know, every night the camp would gather, and after dinner and before our educational program about owls, we would sing songs from a songbook. And that's how I learned to play guitar.
So was the idea that you had that you were going to become an Alan Lomax and travel the world and record things from different cultures, or
what? You know what happened when I went to school was that I thought I was going to be an ornithologist, and I put my whole slate of classes together for ornithology. I went to a college that didn't have a requirement, so you could kind of do what you wanted from the moment you stepped on the campus. So I set up myself up to be a scientist, biology classes, lab, et cetera, et cetera. And at the end of the first year, I was like, it might even have been the first semester. I'm like, no, I'm not happy. And I started to take music classes, and I started to play out at open mics more. And I went to school in Providence, Rhode Island. And so I could take the bus to Boston or to Philly or to New York and Northampton, where I live now. And, you know, at the end of 2 years, they ask you, well, what do you want to be? And in my practical sense, I just looked at what I had taken classes in, and I was closest to a degree in ethnomusicology. And that would be the first time I have heard of ethnomusicology, right? I didn't really understand what it was, and that there was even a degree in it was really great. And so I just had a couple things that I had to do once I made that decision. And then I got this degree in something that I was basically already passionate and interested about.
I see. And you kind of hit with distillation. It's been 13 years. Since that album, right?
That's crazy.
I mean, there are probably a multitude of changes that have taken place over the 13 years. But a couple of years ago, you put together a really interesting 10th anniversary tour where you went out and you played songs from that album, including songs that were really not part of your live performance catalog, right? And the dress fit, right? The dress that you wore on the cover.
It really did fit. It really did fit.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I guess that is some kind of achievement on its own. Yeah.
Let's hear some music. What are you going to play first for us?
I'm going to start out with The Jailer, which is a song that you all have been playing here, which is wonderful. This is a song about the border between the United States and Mexico and the fence that the U.S. government is building.
And you traveled there, right?
And I have traveled there, and I have stood right next to this fence. And it's quite powerful when you're driving in the desert and you kind of come around a bend and you see that you really literally see it rising up out of the desert. And it is, of course, like nothing else around it. And it's this very violent, like, interruption of the space. And then you go stand up next to it. And I was standing there with a man who's a charter school teacher in Nogales, Arizona, and his school backs right up to the fence. And we're standing there, and you're not really supposed to stand next to the fence. The Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, they tell you it's dangerous to stand there, that you could be hit, things fly over it all the time or fly through it and you could be hit with something. But anyway, so we're standing there really getting a good look up close at it, and we're seeing the ICE truck kind of coming down the fence to tell us to move. And I asked the guy, I was like, why is this a fence? Why is this not a wall like the Berlin Wall? And he says to me that they had these drainage problems as they, you know, evolved the fence. They had drainage problems and they had to build it this way so the water could go through it. And I have a really powerful picture that someone sent me of a man and a woman hugging through the fence, because it's the distance between the pieces is about 6 inches. So you can hug through it. And it really struck me that something like water, they would consider water, but they would not consider people. Mm. And who relationships and migration and things like that need to go through the fence. So after a few months, this is what happened. Break my back and tie my hands. Send me to the jailer. For every man that jailer keeps, his soul is getting darker. Jailer rules a stolen land, king of wicked pleasure. Try to cross him if you can, scar across a desert. You can't keep us out, you can't keep us out, you can't keep us out, you can't keep us out. Try to stop the water, try to stop a fire, try to stop a culture. Fist around his power. Never mind when doubt creeps in, a sound over his shoulder. In his secret heart, the jailer knows how like he is his prisoner. Though he sleeps on finest sheets, his dreams will make him nervous. You can't keep us out, you can't keep us out. The nature of a jailer is to do just what he pleases. But when we hang another man, part of us dies with him. Lock your soul up, piece by piece. Show me just what love is. Show me just what love is. Show me what is just. You can't keep us out. 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 Try to stop the water.
It's Aaron McKeown live on Jefferson Public Radio with the jailer from the new album called Manifestra. Well, for listeners that are now hearing a couple of your songs or have heard some of your songs from Manifestra and are maybe going online to explore more of your catalog, it brings up a somewhat delicate subject, especially for live radio, and that is this holiday album. Now, granted, yeah, this is live radio, but you made sort of an anti-holiday album a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I made a record. I can't say the title of it because, right? I respect you and I know your license and I don't want you to lose it because you guys are very important in the community. So, but it's an album about my feelings about Christmas, and it's the world's first pro-queer, anti-capitalist, not safe for work, multi-religious history anti-holiday album.
Gotcha. And Manifestra was listener fan funded, right?
Fan funded.
How long did that take?
Well, 6 days.
Yeah.
6 days.
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
Tell me what the name is about, Manifestra.
The word came to me in a dream. The song came to me in a dream. I generally think of myself as like a pretty like put together and functional person. And I hate that myth about artists that we're either like too stupid or too high to know what's going on around us. So I like to be an artist that's with it. But there is a part of music and artistry that I don't understand. And for me, it comes in dreams. I don't know where it comes from. I can't control it. And I did wake up with the song Manifestra done. And I wrote it down as I woke up with it. And I wrote down the word manifesto and just moved on. I was probably thinking of the word manifesto and was too tired, but the word manifesto happened and I kept it. And, I don't know, for me, it's obviously got a feminine ending, which is important to me. I took a lot of Latin growing up. So fenestra is a Latin word for window. Mm. So there's something of that sound in there, which all of describes what manifesto the record is to me, which is, a sort of a laying out of a future that is articulate and hopeful, and you know, the thing you tack on the church door and say, this is what we do from now on.
Yeah. A lot has been written so far about this album being your most overtly political album or having the most overtly activist themes in some of those songs. Is that something that you agree with and recognize, or have people simply missed that you've had that in you and your music all along?
No, they're totally right.
Yeah.
And I hid it for a long time and was afraid to be more expressive with it. You know, by the time Manifestra comes along, I was just at this point was like, I just should do what I'm interested in and just do what comes next. And that's the great thing about not being on a label anymore. That's just what happened.
Well, I want to talk more about your activism in a bit, but can we hear Manifestra?
Yeah.
Would you be willing to do that one for us? Erin McKeown is my guest. The new album is called Manifestra. It is out on TVP. Now, what does that mean, TVP?
So, ages ago, when I was in college, I lived in co-ops. And I actually think that Ashland probably has some. But I lived in these co-ops, and so there would be 18 to 20 people who lived in these giant Victorian houses. And we cooked for each other and also had a food co-op as part of it. And so when you're cooking for 30 people every night, you have some tricks. And one of them, I live in a vegan house, and we had a big trash can of something called TVP, textured vegetable protein, that you would throw into anything to add a little beef, you know, body to it or some protein. And, you know, I named the record label in like 1997. So that's, you know, the big trash can of TVP records.
So it's basically substance.
It's true. It's true. Substance that's not meat.
It's Erin McKeown live on Open Air here on Jefferson Public Radio.
Humble like the child of God she wants to be. Stumbles over briar and branch, falls off the tree. Recognize the obstacle, still she is stepping in it. Criticized for the child of God she wants to be. Now precious, the momentary comment asleep. Pregnant, the meanings of warnings especially. A question, the answers, and chancery of status quo. Acceptance, return to the message of what you know. Every day, I give me the strength of a thousand beams. Every day, I carry me and lift me and hold me. So I am thankful for the prayers that are answered every day. A tankful of gratitude pressed in the holiday. So vacate the habits and stay close to what you love. Mandate and prorate the style of our Tanqueray. City is a backbone. Learn to stand up for the audio. Tactile, tactile in the process of knowing what you know. You dismantle the rot and the ruin of a straight line. One chance to say something deep in the audio. Every day, I give me strength of a thousand beams. Every day, carry me and lift me and hold me every day, give me the strength of a thousand beams every day, carry me and lift me and hold me. So when the orchestra, it tunes itself up from the dissonance, a manifestra, a violins, a sweep into consciousness, harmony in the style and the guise of martinis, continents, the verbiage and endings of paragraphs. But not a trust is the anecdote, the pejorative plus one, a plus we, oh, accumulate the principal corrective. Jealous of the wealth of other girls, a call on a higher power to finish where the math is. Every day, I give me the strength of a thousand beams. Every day, I carry me and lift me and hold me. Every day, I give me the strength of a thousand beams. Every day, carry me and lift me and hold me. Spelling, the proper sentence, a period, it's telling the transmutation of Ahab, and it's a killing me. Slowly and surely as grass, not willing to change for the style of the period. And it's the in, out, the daily reprieve of the exhale. I forgot about the water and chased the whale. The myth that the prize is all that ought to be. A novel said or written in the style of the whiskey. Every day, give me the strength of a thousand beams. Every day, carry me and lift me and hold me. Every day, give me the strength of a thousand beams. Every day, carry me and lift me and hold me. So I am humble like the child of God I want to be. Stumble over briar and branch that falls off the tree. Recognize the obstacle, still I am stepping in it. Criticized for the child of God I want to be. So every day, give me the strength of a thousand beams. Every day, carry me and lift me and hold me. Every day, give me the strength of a thousand beams. Every day, carry me and lift me and hold me.
So Aaron, part of this fan-funded project allowed you to make your very first music video.
Isn't that crazy?
Right, for
all this time, I've never done a music video.
And you jumped into this with both feet.
Yeah.
The song is Proof. The video we're talking about is Proof. You can find it on YouTube pretty easily. Describe this.
Okay. Well, first I'll describe what you see when you watch the video. So the video begins with basically a very, very uncomfortably close shot of my face with a lot of color sort of swirling and moving and dripping off of it. And as the song goes on, it's one shot and the camera slowly backs away, and as the camera is backing away and I'm singing the song, the color floats off, so that by the end of it I am standing and basically a remake of the record cover, wearing all white against a white background, and as the very last chord of the song goes, the very last bit of the color comes off. So his suggestion, given our budget, to do this, because you could do that with the computer, but his suggestion to do it with the budget was so old-fashioned, it was wonderful, that I would actually learn to sing the song backwards, and we would film it so that the camera comes towards me, and as the camera comes towards me, people would dump things on me while I sang the song backwards, which sounded awesome on paper.
Yeah, the night before, that's a great idea.
Turned out to be incredibly difficult to do. We had originally planned to shoot the video in August, and I think in the middle of July I had gotten the treatment for it. And both of us, the director and I, once we started digging into house, we were like, this isn't going to happen. So we moved it. We spent months on it preparing it. The director spent a ton of time figuring out what he could dump on me color-wise that would look right on the camera and would not hurt me. Mm. And I spent those months learning how to sing proof backwards.
And at a different speed, too.
Yeah,
right?
So what the other thing was that he, I love this kind of thinking. This is the kind of thinking I love. But if in order for the paint, quote-unquote, to fly off me in slow motion, we had to film it faster than that.
So this has turned into like a bar trick at this point. Can you sing some of it backwards?
Yeah, totally. Totally. I'll give you just a little bit of the vocal. So I'm going to sing you the last verse of the song, which is the first verse of the backwards version of it.
Oh, jeez.
Voor Broiseth, voor Razir, Chroda the Jean, as Wim Kianmeerd, Dio were they, two bit mats, Rolf a Clow, Duur, Ipnek, Janu, Yua, Voor Ipnek, Janu, Yua, Voor. There you go. That's one verse and one chorus.
And one of the weirdest moments I think I've ever had here. How much harder was it to do this while you're having stuff dumped on your head? And I mean, it got in your eyes and
everywhere.
Yeah,
it was hard. You know, I always imagined when I made a music video that it would be my chance to like try out my moves, you know, because I don't get to have any moves because I have to play the guitar or the piano all the time. So like I'm kind of stuck and have to sing with a microphone. So I'm kind of stuck in one place when I play music for people. And so I thought, this is my chance. I'm going to try my Whitney Houston moves or something in my video. And
those were the moves you wanted to try out?
Of course.
Okay.
How will I know if he... I love that. Anyway, so I couldn't. I just couldn't. I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't execute singing it backwards at 1.5 times speed, syncing it to the track at the same time as even moving. So in the video, I just stand there because that's all I could do. I tried and maybe one hand gesture and lost my place.
You know, just before you performed, we were talking about activism working its way into your songs. And you have been active in a number of different organizations over the last few years, dedicated to a number of social causes. What are the primary things that you're working with right now or are most passionate about?
Well, what I'm passionate about right now is really just finding ways for musicians to survive in community, right? Ways for people to have different relationships with musicians that are going to be sustainable. Really, what I just want to see is people able to be a diverse group of people able to continue making music on a level that is not dependent on mainstream or media, large media presence, right? People who are functioning in their community as musicians and artists. And so that's what I've been working on. And the best way that I've found to think about it has been about looking at the local food movement, right? And I would imagine here in Ashland, there's a great deal of fresh food options that are grown mm-hmm. right around mm-hmm. here. And so I think like that's the thing, like people want to know now who grew their tomato, and they can know, and they can go on Saturday to the farmer's market and have a relationship with their farmer and buy meat that they know where it came from. And music is the same way. And I think these, for example, the fan funding campaigns are a good example of like people's desire to have a different relationship with the people who are making their music. And I think when people understand the direct impact of their patronage to musicians, I think then a lot of things are going to change. And I think it's already starting to change.
So would you consider the collection of songs on Manifestra a collection of activist songs, or to follow our thread from earlier where you were expressing your dislike for music genres, would they be more like a category of songs to help affect change?
I guess songs that would help affect change. I mean, I feel like if I was in the record store, the emotional record store, I would probably put whatever the opposite of lonely is, right? I don't know what that word would be, but like a desire to be connected, a desire to be part of. Maybe this is the part of instead of apart from that section. And in terms of like some of the other stuff that I work on, there's a activism tab on my website that describes a lot of the organizations that I work with. If you want to get, if people are interested in some of that work, I do a lot of stuff in DC, which is really fun. I have to say it's really, really fun to get to go into the offices of a representative or a senator and sit down and talk to them about, you know, stations like yours and what y'all do in the community and the importance of this grassroots level of people making music who are not paid for by a multinational record label. So
what's next for you? We had Joshua James and his band in earlier this week, and they were on the beginning of their pilgrimage to Austin.
Yeah.
Are you going that way too?
Like a lemming. Yep. We will end up at South by Southwest next week, along with everyone else. But that essentially wraps up the Manifestra tour. I mean, there'll be bits and pieces here and there. But heading into the summer, I am writing a musical.
Really?
Yes.
What about?
I don't want to say.
To be determined.
To be determined.
What is it called?
But I have a, I don't know.
To be determined.
I don't know. I have a really great writing partner, and that's the next thing for me.
With the idea to get it staged in a number of cities or one specific location where you're at? Or?
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. But what I know is that it's not about me, and it will not have me in it. And so
it's not Aaron McKeown's The Book of Mormon.
No. God, that would be awesome. Boy, that's another project. That's my next project. Thank you.
Aaron McKeown is my guest live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. The new album is called Manifestra. Aaron, it has been a pleasure to have you in today. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
What are you going to go out with?
Oh, all right.
How about Proof?
Proof. All right. Thank you. Great. Good. Proof. Four words this time. Take a photo, there's your proof. Solve a number, there's your proof. Take a shot, down the bar, there's your proof. Fire a bullet, it gets through. Glass will cut underfoot. Every dance you conclude, there's your proof. Seasons change, bodies move. In the fields where we stood, see the dirt, eat the food. There's your proof. Kings will fall, queens will rule. From the forge comes the tool. Chart the sky, watch the stars, there's your proof. Oh, you and I can't be proved. Oh, you and I can't be proved. Break the law, break the rules that predict me to you. What is God? What is truth? There's no proof. Still we fight, still we bruise. Steel and stone will be new to us. Love survives, hearts defy beyond proof. Oh, you and I can't be proved. Oh, you and I can't be proved. Oh, you and I can't be proved. Oh, you. Shut the door, raise the roof, there's your proof.
It's Aaron McKeown live on Jefferson Public Radio from the new album Manifestra. That one is called Proof. Aaron, a real pleasure to meet you. Thanks for taking time.
I feel like we just did my career retrospective at MoMA or something.
Well, we had
to. This was awesome.
It's been many years since you've been in Ashland, so we had to kind of catch up.
No, it was really great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, best of luck in Austin.
Thank you.